There's a story about a young guy who had fallen on a hard times. He was out of work and wasn't having much luck of finding a job, and he was starting to run low on funds, getting a little desperate. So he was doing an online search, and he saw that there was an opening at the local zoo. So he dropped a call, and the guy said, "We do have an opening. Why don't you come in?" So he came in the next morning, and this guy says, "Well, our only gorilla here at the zoo died suddenly. We don't have funds to replace this gorilla. So what we want you to do is, for a couple months anyway, we want you to get into a gorilla outfit and act like a gorilla." And he's thinking, "Well, my mother didn't raise me to be a gorilla, but I'm really running out of money." So he takes the job. So he comes in early the next morning, and they give him some instructions. He gets in his gorilla outfit, gets in the cage before the zoo opens, and practicing a little bit. Doors open, and he's in his cage swinging around, and after a while he starts to get into it a little bit, and people are starting to ooh and ah, and then he really gets into it, and he's thumping his chest and grunting like a gorilla and swinging higher and higher. And at one point he overdoes it, and he swings over the top of his cage, and he lands in the adjacent cage inhabited by a huge lion. Before he knows it, this lion has pounced on him, and he thinks he's going to die. He feels the hot breath of the lion on his face, sees the teeth, and he starts screaming for help. People had never heard a gorilla screaming for help before. And all of a sudden, he hears a voice coming from the lion. "Would you please shut up? You're going to get us both fired." There's something that, there's a connection to the gospel on this one. Something that truly, in all seriousness, distances people from God, can actually push people away from God and the church, is phoniness, hypocrisy. And you see Jesus being very firm in today's gospel. And with the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, he says they look great on the outside, all the religious finery. Their words are very eloquent, but there's a lack of integrity. They don't practice what they preach. There's a disconnect there from the exterior and interior principles. And Jesus says, don't follow their example. Basically, don't follow them. And what gets Jesus really worked up is that they're exercising their authority, their religious leadership, in a way that is actually distancing people from God. They're creating obstacles to God's grace. And again, Jesus says, don't follow their example. This gospel is actually a great examination of conscience for any religious leader, actually anyone in leadership or a position of authority. And Jesus' words here are they're very challenging for us in how we live that. There is a British politician by the name of Lord Acton. He lived in the 19th century. And there's a line attributed to him that people oftentimes quote. And it's one where he said that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now that's probably a little bit strong, because you can use your authority, your leadership, whatever power you have, to really do great good, and people do. You can truly have an impact through the gifts God gives you and the leadership and authority. But the misuse of power and authority can cause great harm and great damage. We've been hearing a lot in the news lately about the problem, the issue of sexual harassment, kind of connected with the revelations around Harvey Weinstein and kind of the ripple effect to that. But the folks can use their power, if you will, position, to do great harm. And I think one of the things that, at one level, that's an issue of lust, of that deadly sin, but it's also, you dig a little bit deeper, there's a great misuse of power in one's position that causes great damage. And for us spiritually and scripturally, you can never use, you can never misuse that in order to, we're all created in the image and likeness of God, and every person is worthy of respect because of who we are and who created us. And to violate that, to use another person for one's pleasure or as a means to another, my my particular end, that can never be a right or justified. And it's really not only can it be a crime, but it's actually it's an insult to the Creator to misuse one of His creation, to abuse or harm. And in our Catholic Church, we certainly had issues in recent decades where that's been a serious issue. And so anyone in religious leadership or leadership in whatever sphere, I think there's great responsibility that goes with that. And again, we can do great good or we can cause great harm. And what does Jesus name as the remedy? He names it as humility. And you know who exercised humility in a wonderful way in the scriptures today? St. Paul in Thessalonians today. And he's right there in the midst of this community he helped establish, the Thessalonians. And Paul was a gifted person, charismatic, powerful personality, brilliant guy. I mean, he could have used those gifts and talents to really dominate others, even to cause great harm. But here you see him in the scripture, and he's right there in the midst of this community encouraging. And St. Paul had a great way of lifting people up. He had a great way of empowering and seeing the gifts in others, the talents, the abilities, and calling them forth and lifting them up and encouraging. And that's the wise use of power. I heard that as a definition one time of a healthy leadership. It's the wise use of power or authority to really bring about a great good. And St. Paul is doing that. He's ministering like Jesus. And at the Last Supper, remember what Jesus did there with his apostles? You know, it's right before he's going to go to the cross. And Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist and he started washing the feet of his apostles. And they were kind of blown away by that, especially St. Peter. He goes, "Lord, you're not going to wash. I should be doing this for you. Why are you doing this for me?" And Jesus wanted to give them an example, teach them a lesson about true greatness in the kingdom of God. It's really about a servant leadership, a humble leadership. And you see Jesus again and again. What does he do? I mean, he lifts people up through mercy, through forgiveness, through compassion, through challenge. And he's teaching them a lesson about humility and about service. St. Peter, I think Peter thought, "Jesus is gone, I'll be the leader." He still had a worldly understanding of authority. He wasn't there yet, but he would get there. So for each one of us here today, this gospel is really a good reflection on how we live out our discipleship. And I think it's all about practicing what we preach, these gospel principles, and living them through our words and through our witness and our example. And it's quite a challenge. And I think the term integrity is key because it means kind of pulling it together, that there's a consistency between what we believe and how we act. And none of us are perfect. That's why we still need the sacrament of reconciliation. But the more we put that together, there's a great good in that. And when we go out there in the world, wherever you're at, whatever your vocation is, I think if you identify yourself as a Catholic Christian, I think people watch close. You know, is it genuine or is it inauthentic? Is it sincere or is it phony? And so we need God's grace to kind of bring that together. But when we do, we can truly have an impact for great good. You've probably seen something that marathon runners do when they cross the finish line. Not everyone, but I think it's a great image. Some of you maybe have run a marathon before, but I've seen this. When someone crosses the finish line, and they'll just kind of point upwards toward God, toward heaven. And it's really an image that points to a gratitude for being able to persevere and run the race and cross the finish line. And I think that's a great image for a Christian, that our lives point to God. We're not God. It's not about us. And Jesus gets on those religious leaders about their arrogance, their self-centeredness. But when we live our discipleship, our lives in a way that point to God in gratitude, then we're on a healthy path and He can do great things through us. And we can truly have a wonderful impact in this world for the Lord, for His glory, and for the good of others. So may God bless us with this virtue of humility. May it grow in our lives so that we can be strengthened in our discipleship to give glory to God and to be instruments of His presence.